You're listening to another episode of the Main Event Talk Podcast with your host, the main event player, the Super C himself, the God among gods, the King among kings, the coolest son of a motherfucking bitch walking God's green earth, and we begin the show right now. Podcast. I am the main event player, the Super C himself, coming back at you. The God among gods, the King among kings, the coolest son of a motherfucking bitch walking God's green earth. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Hope you had yourself a great Thanksgiving with your friends and family and everything else like that. The main event certainly did and everything else like that. So, in this episode, well, it's Black Friday, guys, so there's a couple things we got to talk about. First of all, we got to talk about so, despite the fact that Survivor Series is, in fact, the last pay-per-view that WWE is doing, there is one more pay-per-view coming up, and it is going to be NXT's War Games, which we will talk about that later on. Also, NWA's Hard Times 2 is coming up on that same weekend right there. And so much other things. Also, we got to talk about some stuff, including the ever... And I'm going to play this for everybody when I get the opportunity, right after when we get a chance to talk about what we need to talk about. The promo of promos, if you will, involving two individuals from AEW. One MJF and the other CM Punk. And you'll get a chance to hear that on this episode of the Main Event Talk Podcast. So, just want to say happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Happy Black Friday to everybody that's listening to this episode right now. Right now as we speak, we know that today is Friday Night SmackDown, so everybody's going to probably be checking out. The reason for this episode being released right now is I wanted to do it today instead of doing it on the weekend. I wanted to go ahead and chill out and everything and then prepare myself for what's going to happen in the next couple of days, because we got two events that are going to happen. One is the NWA Hard Times event. That's going to happen right around Saturday. December 4th. And also December 5th will be NXT War Games, which we will talk about both events in just a moment. Now, before we get into this, and before we get into what we need to talk about here, when I last left you, we talked about this whole thing with Seth Rollins, about what happened to him when he got attacked and everything else like that. So, I wanted to get into this next spot right here. Let me see if we can pull this up, if you will. Now, as most of you guys had an opportunity, if you saw Monday Night Raw, you know what took place. So, let's look into the title. I'm looking at this from the BleacherReport.com right here. This individual's name is Elijah Spencer, gives motive for attacking Seth Rollins on Raw, apologizes to WWE. Now, here's what it has to say right here. Elijah Spencer, the 24-year-old WWE fan who attacked Seth Rollins during Monday night's episode on Raw at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York, gave the motive for his actions Wednesday. In an interview with Kerry Burke, John Asin, and Larry McShane of the Daily News, Spencer said that he was trying to lend a helping hand to Finn Balor, who was attacked by Seth Rollins prior to their scheduled match. This is what he had to say. My plan was to help Finn Balor. I'm a fan. I'm like his... I'm trying to pronounce this correctly here. It's spelled A-U-R-A. Aura. I think that's what his... Ura. I think that's what it's supposed to be. So, his attitude... I like his aura. I think that's what it's actually called. His aura, his attitude. I like everything about his charisma. I like everything about him. I jumped from where I was sitting at. I ran and speared Seth Rollins. I busted his lip open and he caught me in a headlock. I broke the headlock and I was trying to get him. Then the referees and security guards broke us apart. That's what he was talking about. Now, it says here, Spencer charged with Seth Rollins from out of nowhere while Rollins was exiting the ring area. Up the ramp, after Spencer attacked Rollins to the ground, Rollins put Spencer in a headlock until the referees separated the pair and escorted Spencer out. Spencer told the Daily News he believed he had been conspiring, I think that's what it said, with Rollins on social media for the past few years. Spencer added, and this is the part that was real interesting here, he was asking me to send him gift cards in exchange for money, mostly $500 or more, to see if I was loyal. He asked me to be a wrestling blogger for him. I wanted to work my way up, which is extremely interesting here. Now, the next part here, he also said that he bought a person, he said he bought the person he believed to be Seth Rollins a $3,000 in a gift cards, only to be sent back a check that bounced. Sorry. Burke, Ansing, and McShane noted that Spencer posted screenshots of the text message and DM conversations he had with the person he thought was Rollins on his Instagram account. However, there is no evidence he was actually speaking to Rollins. It has been commonplace since the event of Twitter and Instagram for people to create fake profiles in wrestlers in attempt to catfish and defraud fans. While Spencer hasn't acknowledged the strong likelihood that he was never speaking to Rollins on social media, he did express his remorse for jumping Rollins. I apologize to WWE. This is what he said. I apologize to WWE for my actions. I had a legitimate beef, but as a grown man, I could have settled it in a different way. If I saw him today, I wouldn't attack him. I've moved on. Okay, I think that's all the report here. Let me see here. In an interview with TMZ Sports on Wednesday, Rollins called the oral deal terrifying and called Spencer to be banned from future events. He also confirmed he was not injured in the altercation. Spencer has been charged with attempted assault, attempted violation of arts and culture affairs by disputing in a live sporting event, and he is set to appear in court in the future. Okay, now, this is the thing, and I got to talk about this because I find this to be very, very interesting, because I think myself and other people have gone through this whole perspective. So, I've been on Twitter a few times and on my Instagram a few times, and I always get these ridiculous people who constantly follow me, right? And when they follow me, they pretend to be somebody else, right? Now, here's the thing that this dude should have noted. Now, if I'm being followed by the actual individual, say Seth Rollins is actually following me, Number one, you need to go straight to his profile right away. Don't follow it. Just look at it for a moment. Now, if it's the actual profile, now his actual profile on Twitter is at WWE Rollins. That's what his Twitter and his Instagram say. Now, if it has that blue check mark, look closely, folks. If there is a blue check mark right next to the name, ladies and gentlemen, that is, quote unquote, the actual person involved. Now, if he's actually interacting with you and talking to you and saying a bunch of stuff to you and not asking for money or gifts or anything, you know right away that that is the real Seth Rollins. Now, if you get some idiot, some moron, some jack up, some idiot that is asking for $200 in gift cards and $200 in this and everything else like that and yada, 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 stay the fuck away. I don't care who. Don't put this shit, you know, if they're trying to mess with your emotions and tell you, oh, if you're a loyal fan, you'll send me $9 million. You're fucking crazy. You know, and you can't, here's the thing. And also, and, let me also bring this up real quick because I think there's one thing I want to bring up here. If I can bring this up as soon as possible. There was a comment that was brought up by Chavo Guerrero. Yes, Chavo Guerrero, who mentioned a comment which seemed absolutely ridiculous. And with all due respect to Chavo Guerrero, I mean, you know, this dude, let me see. Okay, this is what it is right here. It was in the New York Post right here. We'll get back to what we need to talk about in a second. So Chavo Guerrero had posted out something on Twitter. I don't know if he deleted or if the comment is still there, but there was something on there that was extremely interesting there. Let's see. Chavo Guerrero takes a vile shot at Rollins after WWE fan attack. This is what I saw, and I think, and I've seen some screenshots of some stuff that was posted on here. It says here, an age-old tradition, professional wrestling's talents of bygone eras saying the presence and performers are soft. We have an example of that as Chavo Guerrero has taken vile shot at Seth Rollins after, you know, the fan attacked him during the deal on Monday Night Raw. And this was the tweet that came up. It says here, remember when the wrestlers were tougher than the fans? Ah, the good old days. And this is what Chavo had posted out. And I think he deleted that comment on Twitter. Here's the thing. You know, Chavo, I don't know what, and a lot of people have said this, you know, he's being stupid for saying shit like that. And I agree with that. I mean, he's actually being completely stupid for saying stuff like that. I don't understand what his motives was and everything, but that's pretty different. That's pretty stupid of Chavo to say stuff like that. But anyways, this thing with this guy, Spencer, there are a lot of stupid fans out there that really want to go ahead and start doing stuff real stupid as to, you know, try to become famous in any way possible. I've seen that happen before. I've seen it happen here in Corpus a few times before. Here's the thing, guys. Look, professional wrestling, when these guys are doing what they do, there used to be a time when fans would get overzealous and want to attack the wrestlers because they're attacking their favorite heel and everything else like that. Those were back in the days, but now that, you know, people understand how wrestling is supposed to be. Now, look, you know, you can call it whatever you want, however you say it, but you do not, under any circumstances, go ahead and start jumping off the rails and decide you want to attack that fan because you feel you were doing the right thing. You know, it's just stupid. It's just an absolute ridiculous thing. And this guy was a complete idiot for doing it. He was a complete idiot for doing it at all. And this is the thing, you can't blame Seth Rollins for it. Because Seth had no idea. He saw it coming, but he knew what he had to do. And this is one of these things where, and you have to also realize, the Barclays Center, this was also the same spot. When you think about this, this was a couple of years ago. I think it was WrestleMania, the weekend of WrestleMania 35, the Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Remember when Bret Hart was inducting his tag team partner Jim the Anvil Neidhart into the Hall of Fame, and all of a sudden some fan just comes in and bum rushed Bret Hart, and everybody started attacking. Everybody started getting at the guy before they could attack Bret Hart. And of course, you know, they took their shots in and everything, which the guy deserved. The guy deserved to get hit in the face. The guy deserved everything that he got. And it's because you do not, I don't give a damn who you are, you do not go inside the ring for any reason whatsoever. Now, unless you're unless you were granted access from the management, unless you know if you're, you know, a sane person and you're okay to come there, that's fine, as long as you don't cause any trouble. This is the problem. I can understand the fans' enthusiasm. I can understand what this dude was trying to do. I think he was one of these, I don't know the proper word to say it, he was one of these dupes that fell for the trick that you see on Instagram. Now, I have a lot of followers on Facebook. Now, most of these followers are wrestling fans, are rockers, are, you know, certain, you know, type of people that I, you know, have on my Instagram and stuff. And then there's the real deal. And I have some real deal individuals that follow me on Instagram and Twitter. Now, when it comes to the other people that try to portray as a Seth Rollins or a Charlotte Flair, and I've gotten several Charlotte Flair followings on my Facebook, well, not on my Facebook, but on my Twitter. I go on my Twitter, I would see like three different Charlotte Flairs. I'm like, really? Really? And they all expect me to believe that this is really Charlotte Flair. I'm being followed by Charlotte Flair. No, that's not really it. Or I'm getting one from Becky Lynch, or I'm getting one from Zelina Vega, or I'm getting one from these other porn stars. Because they follow you, and they expect you to believe that this is who they are. And they go ahead and scam you and make you believe that it's them. And they want a gift card from you. They want money from you. They want an amount of $100, $200, $300. Sometimes, and from what this guy's case was, around $3,000. This is the thing. You guys have got to be careful with what you do on social media. It's one thing when you're talking to individuals and saying what you're saying and everything else like that. That's fine. You can do what you want. But you have to be extremely careful with what you see on Instagram and on Facebook and on Twitter. Because you never know. Because you could get... I mean, I always say the old expression, and I've said this many times on the end of my show, if you choose to friend request me, proceed at your own risk. And what I mean by that, and this is the meaning behind it, is if you are who you are and I check you out, and trust me, I do check out most of these people that follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and everything else like that. If you are who you say you are, and you are for real, and you're not just some scam artist trying to get money out of me, okay, that's fine. But here's the thing. If you come into my Facebook or my Twitter or my Instagram in any way possible, the first rule that comes out of all this is you do not, under any circumstances, DM me or message me in any reason. If you post something in front of my Facebook or in front of my Twitter or anything else like that, okay, I could take that because you know how to respect my privacy. You understand how this shit goes and everything. And to all the idiots that go ahead, and I'm going in a different direction here, where, and especially for women, you know how you have all these women on your Facebook and they look extremely gorgeous, and some you've met in person and some you haven't met in person and all this stuff. Yes, you see beautiful women and they get complimented how beautiful they are, how gorgeous they are, and everything else like that. And then they go ahead and decide that they want to message them. And even some of these women have expressed their opinions and said that, you know, don't get butt hurt. And I've heard that for a few times. Don't get butt hurt if I'm not messaging or responding back. It's just that I don't have the time to do it. And sometimes I respond back to them and tell them that if they're not respecting your space and if they're not getting that you're not here on a dating service, you're just here to socialize with your friends and your family, that's all you're doing. And that's what most of these women do. Look, most women go ahead and exploit what they have. And you can't blame them. You can't blame them for that. Look, they come out looking beautiful, gorgeous, and everything else like that, and you're mesmerized by it. And most of them want to go ahead and do stupid things like message you and show them how big their fucking dick is, because they've done that before. How many times is absolutely ridiculous. And guys are real stupid for doing stuff like that. And they don't get that a woman can take those dick spots and expose it to everyone on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They can do that and make you look like a fool. So here's the thing. To my advice to everyone that go on Instagram, that go on Twitter and everything, be careful. And I need you to do me a favor. I need you to do an entire deal on trying to figure out exactly, like, don't go ahead and just accept their friend request right away. Don't do that. What you have to do is, you gotta find out what the fuck, you know, who the fuck they are, first of all. You gotta find out exactly, look into their profile, find out if they're real. If they do this stuff, Sorry, I'm actually hearing the dogs bark and everything else like that, but my advice right now is, please do not discourage the stuff that these guys are doing, okay? Don't accept, you know, don't go into a friend request or a follow that could lead you into some trouble, okay? Check them out, you know, do some investigating. Find out who they are first before you accept them. And I've done this most of the time where I look into these people's profiles and I find out for sure if they are who they are. Because if they are who they are, then I bring them into my Facebook. I bring them into my Instagram. I bring in my stuff, no time. Now, that's just the first step. The second step is, if you go on my Facebook or if you go on my Instagram and you know, say thank you for the compliment or thank you for accepting my friendship, then that's fine. That's cool. I dig that. But if you go directly to my messages, if you go directly to my DMs or anything else like that, you're done. You're out the window. You're finished. I'm not going to even try to conversate with you on that. Unless you're a friend or family, that's an entire different story. So guys, my advice to you is, don't be like this idiot. I'm listening to something in the background. Don't be like this guy. Don't be stupid. Don't jump the rail. Don't do anything crazy. Just keep it professional, please. And do not try to, you know, and do anything crazy, all right? Just keep it cool, keep it right, and keep your eyes peeled. Keep your eyes peeled no matter what, all right? Okay, some more news coming up here. We know that I'm going to put some stuff on with AEW in just a moment, but before we do that, some AEW news involving Jim Ross. Now, most of you guys have probably know about his skin cancer treatment and everything. There's some more news in regards to that. Jim Ross is taking a leave of absence from AEW due to cancer treatment. Now, this is from the CageSideSeats.com. And let me see if I think we can play this, can we? Let me see if we can.
Jim Ross is taking a leave of absence from AEW due to cancer treatment.
They go into harm's way every day. Okay. Make sure they have a Bible.
Okay, that was it. Okay, okay. So I was just because I was playing this article right here, and I wasn't sure exactly what it was. I thought it was just, you know, I was hoping we'd get some more information as to what it was about and everything. Let's see what happens next here.
About the bad news of Jim Ross' skin cancer diagnosis last month. Ross was hopeful that he could work through the upcoming radiation treatments and miss no time from the AEW commentary booth. Then last night's episode of Dynamite ended with Ross giving the following sign off. I'm Jim Ross, saying enjoy your Thanksgiving, be safe, love your loved ones, and I'll see you again in the very near future. It sounded like Ross was going to be off television for at least a few weeks. He confirmed his absence on Twitter tonight, revealing that his 22 radiation treatments will keep him away from the All Elite commentary booth until at least the December 29th episode of Dynamite. Keep Jim Ross in your thoughts during this very stressful time, and let's hope that his radiation treatments are successful in battling the skin cancer and turning this scary health situation around.
And I got to go ahead and give out my my thoughts and my prayers out to Jim Ross at this time. We know that he's gone through a very, very rough year this year and everything. Jim Ross, one of the greatest commentators in the history of professional wrestling. You know, it's been tough for him and everything. And that was the last note that I remember hearing about as far as that stuff goes. So we know that... we know at this point that Jim Ross, his last deal was with, I think they did the whole AEW Dynamite Thanksgiving deal, which we are going to bring up in just a moment here. So Jim Ross is going to be out of television for quite a while. We don't know exactly when he's going to come back. I think we heard somewhere along the lines of December 29th. We're hoping for the best for JR and everything. Best speeding wishes to Jim Ross, and hopefully that everything turns around for him. My thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family at this time. We hope to see Jim Ross come back extremely soon. And trust me, I'll tell you guys, you know, he is still, regardless of some of the things that Jim Ross has done, I don't give a damn what anyone says. Jim Ross is still one of the greatest commentators, one of the best commentating guys in the history of the business. I listened to him even before he was in WWE. He was the lead announcer for WCW long, long time ago. And, you know, everything that's happened with Jim Ross, we're hoping that he comes back better than ever. And everything else like that. Now, speaking of Dynamite, speaking of everything that took place at Dynamite, I want to go ahead and show you a clip, guys. And believe me when I tell you, this was truly some of the best stuff that I saw. This took place over on Monday. This past Wednesday on Thanksgiving. Now, I didn't get a chance to see this because of certain things I can't mention at this point right now. But we'll probably talk about it when we have the opportunity. This was the promo exchange between CM Punk and MJF. If you guys had a chance to see it on Dynamite, on Thanksgiving Dynamite, you know what's up. If you've seen it on YouTube, you know what's up. Now, just in case you guys haven't heard it, let's listen to it, and if you will, and see what you think. This was truly one of the best things that happened in the world of professional wrestling. Let's take a listen.
Doesn't feel so good getting interrupted, does it, Punky Brewster? You know, quite frankly, you really hurt my feelings last week. I extended out my hand like a gentleman. And you really hurt my feelings, man. I mean, it was almost as bad as the time you quit, took your ball, and went home like a little bitch. You know what was great, though? The pipe bomb. Everybody loves the pipe bomb, right, Chicago? Yeah, my God, so good. Legendary. What you would call a great promo, and I think it's fair to say, Punky, that the pipe bomb is your best moment. Except here's the problem, bud. Every MJF moment is the best MJF moment. Because unlike you, I'm not a one-trick pony. And don't get it twisted, I respect you, man. I respect everything you've done. Hell, I even respect the fact that you're straight edge. Granted, never in my wildest dreams could I have possibly imagined a straight-edge man could look so much like a meth addict. And it must be extremely difficult to be straight-edge, considering if I had your face, I'd need to down 8 shots of whiskey just to look myself in the mirror. But you know what I can respect? CM, is how you've handled our little situation here, and you can pretend there isn't one, but there is. There is. You know, you would do all your quaint little interviews, and they would ask you, who are some opponents you would like to go up against, and you would name every single wrestler underneath the sun, except for moi. Now, you can pretend It's because you weren't interested, but in reality, it's because you didn't want none. And who could blame you, Punky? I mean, your whole entire career on the stick, you've been big fish, small pond, and standing across from me, you're just a freaking minnow. You didn't want to go toe-to-toe with me on the stick, Punk? Well, too bad. Because I'm about to verbally finish you quicker than your UFC career. Say clobber in time, it'll say out of time. You can drop cute little pipe bombs all you want, cause I'm MJF and I drop nukes.
So disappointed in you. But let's not start there. Let's show our guest a little bit of Chicago hospitality. I want to thank you first and foremost for last week. You introduced yourself to me. That's what a proper young man is supposed to do to their elders. And I had no idea your first name was Maxwell. This entire time I thought MJF stood for my jealous fan. See, I got the time. Seems like it still kind of does, doesn't it? If you're so hung up on the fact that I never mentioned you anytime I did press, anytime I ever did an interview, I never brought your name up. Well, that was by design. The last thing I wanted to do is feed your rotten little ego. Look at me, Maxwell. I'm in your head. Probably has a lot to do with the fact that there's a poster of me on your wall. Doesn't change the fact that I'm disappointed, because I've always heard about the great MJF, and then last week I did what nobody else in this industry, nobody else in AEW has been able to do. I shut up the great MJF without saying a word. And you had 7 days, you had a whole week to think of good zingers, and you came out here with the lowest hanging fruit. He thinks he's somebody. He thinks what he does is revolutionary to the wrestling business, when in reality, he's just a less famous Miz.
Your whole entire run here thus far, don't you think? I suppose it's true. Nostalgia.
just coming back at you right now. I just you were just listening to that whole thing right now, and man, that was some beautiful, beautiful piece right there. MJF and CM Punk going at it is just fucking amazing. I love how it went down. It looks amazing. Oh God. Okay, here we go. Let's get back into it, shall we?
Nostalgia is a drug that causes us to misconstrue our memories, and you, my friend, are no more than nostalgia. And guess what, bud? You were right. I was a fan. I'm not ashamed to admit it. How couldn't I have been? I mean, in this ring, on the microphone, nobody could touch you. You're the best. Or so I thought, Chicago. Because ever since your almighty return, you've struggled to beat the easiest of competition, and you've struggled to say, quite literally, anything of intrigue. Oh my God. Punk, your breath smells like shit. It's probably because you've been kissing so much ass recently. I mean, you have been robotically kissing ass all over the place. You know what? I'm gonna do a little impression of you real quick. Chicago, do you mind if I give you a quick impression? It sure is great to be back here in insert name of town. I sure do love being a part of insert name of company. Gee whiz, I sure am looking forward to my matchup against insert name of opponent, Robotic Pucker Up Punk. You've gone soft, man. Your hair's going gray, and based on your eyes, if anybody needs to go to sleep, it's you, bud. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? Something just hit me. This is no longer CM Punk. This is PG Punk. What happened to the guy I grew up on, man? What happened to the renegade, the ass kicker, the outsider? Because you might as well be coming out here preaching hustle, loyalty, and respect. Except here's the problem, PG. I can see you. Hell, I can see through you, buddy. You claimed you'd only come back for the younger talent, and yet you also claimed you'd only come back for a boatload of money. You claimed you couldn't fix professional wrestling from your couch in Chicago, and yet you stayed put on that couch for 7 long years. Excuse after excuse not to come back, poor K-Punk. Why? Is it because you were too busy making comic books nobody read and movies nobody saw? Or is it because you were terrified? Scared you couldn't hang anymore? Maybe scared you never could hang in the first place? And I have the microphone, Chicago! And I'm here to tell you, you should be scared, man. In the other company, these people looked at you like a cult hero because they felt you were held down. You should have been utilized and showcased as the number one guy. And now, yeah, great, and now here you are. You have all the opportunity to prove these people right. But can you? Do you people think CM Punk can do it? I'm glad they think that now, Punk, but are they gonna feel that way in a month, 2 months, a year? I don't envy you, man, but I know you envy me. And I know why you don't like me, PG Punk. I know why. It's because I represent everything about this business that you hate. I'm every single thing you hate because I was born for this. Oh yeah, I'm a clean-cut professional. I'm every single wrestling analyst, promoter, and pundit's wet dream, while you, on the other hand, were a scrawny, tatted-up misfit from the dumpiest part of the Midwest, known as Chicago. You had to work your tail off to become the man you are today, and I commend you for that, but I know what keeps you up at night. I know what eats you up inside. It's the fact that after all your hard work, all your blood, sweat, tears, and sacrifice you've given this sport, deep down you know it, and these people know it. Your whole career, you've been nothing more than second best. Whether it was the You Can't See Me Man, or the King of Kings, you were never quite up to snuff, were you? And I can assure you, now that you're standing in my ring, in my company, things will be no different, because you may claim to be the best in the world, but I'm better than you. And you know it.
So far, I mean, and we're going through some ads right now and everything, but this was some beautiful stuff. I mean, just listening to MJF talk, everything that he said was pretty much true. And then everything that CM Punk was saying was pretty true, too. What did he call him? Less famous than The Miz or something like that? Oh, man, that's some beautiful stuff. Let's continue on, shall we?
There's some truth in what you just said. A little bit scared coming back after 7 years, a little bit. See, I'm not gonna lie, not even to you. I certainly never lie to these people. I didn't know if these people would remember me. I didn't know if these people would care. I didn't know if I still had it. But trust me, I'm not scared any longer. Certainly not scared of you. Because the timing might not match up, but I was selling out Madison Square Garden when you were marking out for Rosie O'Donnell. And the last time on this show, you did a song and dance, you made the New York Times. Wow! You want to sing me a song right now, Maxwell? Don't worry. You're standing in the ring with a professional, and you're going to make the New York Times again, but this time it's going to be the obituaries. Because you have just enrolled yourself into a college your parents cannot afford. You talk too much. Yeah, just like me back in the day, except I always backed it up, and you can't back up shit without your backup. FTR. Sean Spears, Wardlow, that's how you get things done around here. And I never mention you in interviews because I never had to. I looked at AEW and I said, wow, that's the place I want to be. That's the place I want to test myself. And I went for the heart and soul of AEW, Darby Allin. And boy, that just chews you up, doesn't it? And I beat Darby Allin. And I didn't need a ring to do it. You're too busy talking about how you're the most powerful of the four pillars. You don't even realize you've been replaced by Britt Baker. And while you think you've made some excellent points, I think you talk too much and we've wasted these people's time. They call Chicago the second city, not because there's a city that's better than it, not because there's a city that was first, and you want to call me number two? I'll proudly wear number two with a bullet, because just like Chicago, They call us the Second City because when it burned to the ground, we just built right back up on top of the smoldering embers. And who's the man around here? Who's number one? Is it you? No, I don't think so. The only way you're going to be number one is if we all wait around long enough for Tony to have a daughter that you marry. Last time we were here in Chicago, and hell yeah, I'm happy to be here. I gave everybody free ice cream bars. The only thing I can think that's a better welcome back gift than that is punching you in your little needle dick right here, right now.
Anybody surprised that he would roll under and leave?
Before, and trust me, I've got a lot to say about what we just saw right there. Before we go ahead and talk about that whole thing involving MJF and CM Punk, let me go ahead and get into some of the things that are going to be happening next week on the Main Event Talk podcast. So, next week, we're going to be doing an episode about not just hard times, we're also going to talk about War Games. So let me go ahead and get into some of the matches here that are going to take place. We'll start off with NWA's Hard Times 2, which is coming up. Let's see if I can... I think it's December 4th, if memory serves me correctly here. Yes. December 14th. I'm sorry. It's December 4th over in Atlanta at the GPB Studios. So that's what's going to take place there. And let's look at the lineup here. Let's see a singles match between, Jax Dane and Matthews Mims. Okay, that's going to happen right there. Crimson, if you will. Oh, with Crimson, I'm sorry. My apologies. Mickey James to go one-on-one against opponent yet to be announced. Colby Carino, who is also the son of Steve Carino, to take on Douglas Williams. Nick Aldis to go one-on-one against Tom Thatcher, or Thadimir. That's what it is. He used to be called by a different name, but I forgot what it was. Anyways, Austin Aries, and oh God, I haven't heard that name in a long time. Austin Aries to go one-on-one against Rip Titus, and this is for the NWA Junior Heavyweight Championship qualifying match. That's going to take place. Oh, and by the way, the match between Nick Aldis and Tom Thadimir, it says here, no occupants at ringside. If either man is disqualified, they will be suspended for 8 weeks. Ooh, that's going to be interesting right there. Also, let's see, for the Tag Team Championship, for the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Championship, it's going to be the OGK, the original Kingdom, if you will, Matt Taven and Mike Bennett to defend their championship against Aaron Stevens and J.R. Kratos. They were the former NWA World Tag Team Champions several months back. A three-way match to determine the NWA Women's World Tag Team Championships. The Hex of Allison Kay and Marty Bell versus Kylie Rae. I find that extremely funny that Kylie Rae's in here. But anyways, Kylie Rae and Tutti Lynn. Also, Lady Frost and Natalia Markova, which I believe that's one of the individuals I'm following on Twitter. Let's see, and that's a three-way for the NWA Women's World Championship. A singles match for the NWA National Championship. The national champion is Chris Adonis, the man known as Chris Masters, to defend his championship against Judas, with Father James Mitchell by his side. The NWA Women's World Championship will be decided as Camille will be defending the championship against a legendary former Women's World Champion, Melina. Also, the NWA World Tag Team titles will be decided as La Rebellion, Bestia 666, and Misha Wolf 450 to take on the end of Odinus and Pero. I think that's what his name is, but I could be wrong. No disqualification match for the NWA World Television Championship with Pope as a special guest referee. No time limit. Tyrus will be defending his championship with Austin Idol in the corner to take on Scion, which I believe that's the masked wrestler. The NWA World Championship will be decided as the champion, Trevor Murdoch, will be defending his championship against Mike Knox, who was a former WWE superstar back in the day. Also, the NWA Junior Heavyweight Championship quarterfinals. It's Alex Taylor versus Daivari versus C.W. Anderson versus Darius Lockhart versus Homicide versus Jeremy Pluckett versus Jamie Stanley versus Kerry Morton, and I believe that's the son of Ricky Morton, if you remember the Rock and Roll Express quite well. Luke Hawks, PJ Hawks versus Sal Ramore and Victor Jeremy. That's the quarterfinals for the NWA World Junior Heavyweight Championship. That's all going to take place at NWA Hard Times Live Saturday night, November 4th, only on pay-per-view. Get a chance to check it out. It's the NWA happening live on Saturday night. Now, Sunday night, which is going to be December 5th, it's the return of War Games for NXT. Let me go ahead and get this out of the way real quick. There's one thing that I got to put together real quick before I talk about this and everything, because obviously I want to talk about the whole thing involving CM Punk. Let me see here. Let me get everything set here. Just trying to get all set up here, you know, to prepare what's about to happen next, because man, oh man, oh man, the promo. And we want to talk about this at the conclusion of this episode, because that promo was amazing. And the exchange between CM Punk and MJF was unbelievable. And I don't think it could have gotten any better. there was no way it could have got any worse, could it? Nah, there's no way it could have been done that way. Okay, anyways, the NXT, here's what's going to happen. There's going to be two War Games matches featuring the women and the men, so let's talk about that. It's going to be the first War Games match. Now, this is not in this order, but this is what's going to take place. It's the old school versus the new school. The old school being NXT champion Tommaso Ciampa with Mr. Johnny Wrestling himself, Johnny Gargano, Pete Dunne, and LA Knight to take on the team of the new school of the NXT 2.0. Bron Breakker, Carmelo Hayes, Tony D'Angelo, and Grayson Waller with Trick Williams in their corner. That's the men's War Games. Also, the NXT Cruiserweight Championship will be decided as Roderick Strong defends his championship against Joe Gracie. Should be interesting there. The NXT Tag Team Championship will be decided. Imperium will be defending their championship against the winner of the match happening this coming Tuesday night on NXT 2.0 as Kyle O'Reilly and Vogue Wagner will take on Legado del Fantasma's Jacqueline Wilde and Raul Mendoza. The winner of that will take on the team of Imperium for the tag team titles. Cameron Grimes goes one-on-one against Duke Hudson in a hair versus hair match. And also we got the Women's War Games here. It's Team Raquel Gonzalez, Io Shirai, Cora Jade, and Kay Lee Ray to go up against Team Dakota, and I think that's what it's called, with Dakota Kai, the members of Toxic Attraction, which features the NXT Women's Champion Mandy Rose and Gigi and JC of the NXT Women's Tag Team Champions. That's all going to take place at NXT's War Games. And I would call it NXT TakeOver, but I don't think they're going to call it that anymore. It's now called NXT War Games to happen live December 5th on the Peacock. Get an opportunity to check it out while you can and everything else like that. We're almost at the conclusion of this episode. I wanted to talk about the match between MJF and CM Punk, the promos exchange. That was just amazing to listen to. And listen, I love how it went down. It was great. I'm a huge fan of MJF. I'm a huge fan of CM Punk. Most of you guys know that quite well. And it was amazing. I mean, the exchange that these two have, and this was bound to happen sooner or later. I mean, we all have been anticipating to see exactly what CM Punk was going to do. Ever since CM Punk's arrival, he's come in, he's taken on Darby Allin, he's taken on several opponents and everything else like that. The last opponent he took on was Eddie Kingston, okay? And that was over at Full Gear, which was a fight, which was an extreme fight. And then from 1 week ago, when MJF came on a promo and basically defeated Darby Allin over Full Gear, he said there was no one he could take on, there was no one that could match him. And then all of a sudden, here comes CM Punk coming over to the ring. The crowd was reacting. Everybody was cheering. A face-to-face confrontation between CM Punk and MJF. We know that you got the best talker going in CM Punk and the best talker going in MJF. And something was bound to go off. You had the fans screaming CM Punk. You had the fans screaming shut the fuck up. You had the fans screaming everything imaginable. And then once MJF threw his hand out and say, Maxwell, all of a sudden, CM Punk looks at that hand. He looks at MJF, pretty much scoffs, laughs him, and just walks away. And left CM Punk, left MJF speechless. Couldn't say a word, didn't say anything, he didn't have to, which was beautiful. And now, you heard the promo exchange between CM Punk and MJF, and my God, it was magic. It was beautiful. This is exactly what AEW needs. Now think about this. While you have a world full of clowns, morons, and idiots in AEW, you got true professionals. You got guys like MJF and CM Punk that are not only providing something good for AEW to watch, but putting on a show that no one can do. These guys can talk. These guys can say what they want. And they're being real about what they're saying to their audience. I'm very curious about how far, when will this happen? I say MJF versus CM Punk at Revolution. I see that happening in 2022. I don't think it'll happen just yet, but believe me, CM Punk, MJF, it's gold, it's money, it's everything you ever want in perspective. Be ready for that. Guys, this is almost the end of the Main Event Talk podcast of Black Friday edition. We hope you have enjoyed this episode and everything. And I hope you guys have had a great, great Thanksgiving with your family and everything else like that. I went ahead and started cooking yesterday. Some other things have happened, which I won't be able to talk about here. I'll mention it when the time is right. But nonetheless, I had a good Thanksgiving. My turkey was great. The stuffing was good. Thank you very much to Bill Miller's, because I went ahead and ordered my stuff from them. Cooked the turkey on end. Got myself some pie. Got myself some stuffing. Got myself some corn. Got myself some green beans. Everything. Everything was delicious and everything else like that. So get an opportunity to follow the Main Event on Twitter, twitter.com/@MainEventPlayer. You can also follow me on Instagram at instagram.com/@MainEventPlayer. The Main Event Talk Facebook page is still in the works right now. More details on that pretty soon. And also this episode is sponsored by Richards Billiards. 5815 Weber, Not Your Average Heroes, the legend continues. And get an opportunity to go over there and check them out on karaoke night and everything else like that. And if you got nothing to do on Black Friday, head over to Rich's Billiards and go have yourself a beer and everything else like that. And have yourself a good time and perspective. And as always, if you want to give me a friend request, proceed at your own risk. And be careful, guys. Be careful who you send your messages to and everything else like that. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to this episode. I'll see you next time on another great episode of the Main Event Talk podcast, which will take place next week. Happy Black Friday. Happy Thanksgiving. See you on the next episode of the Main Event Talk podcast. Why? Because I can and I want to. Any questions? Enough.